Sunday afternoon. Lady Shiran Chavis Halvavis Shara Bechina Chav Dalid Teves. We'll be starting in a minute. There's a session. Certainly not your body.
Right.
So you're your soul, and you determine what your soul is, but that affects your body, because let's say according to the Rambam, even in the ultimate Olam Haba, the body will also exist in some form. It'll be more like a malach than just pure ruchnius. A malach also has some sort of form. So as we purify our bodies, or by being more spiritual, it has an effect on our body. So the answer to your question is, we are our soul, but then it affects our body. Our body becomes more than just a clod of earth and gashmius. It becomes holy. You see, in the Beis HaMikdash, physical things were holy, and our body becomes kadosh, and the more kadosh and ruchnius we become, so the more our bodies are purified. And then, so the body becomes like an extension of the neshama. Okay. No, we can't. This is not Derech Hashem. This is Chavis Halvavis. If you want to make a shir in Chavis, then Derech Hashem, Ramchal, then you talk to Mrs. Manrick. She's in charge of all the shirim here. Okay, so I start off every Sunday with a Hagdama, and today will be no different. Just as more of an echo, that's all. And that is, we're trying to develop a mindset amongst two things. Shara Bechina's two things. Developing a mindset of really proof of Hashem's existence, more practical proof than the theological, philosophical, intellectual proofs of Shar HaYichud, but perhaps secondly, and that really becomes more the emphasis of the Baal Chovos Halvavos, is to develop a mindset of gratitude to Hashem. And therefore these shirim are a little boring, as we see. And the reason is because of all the reasons the Chavis Halvavos mentioned, and that's why it's so important to learn it. Because, like, let's say I would sit here lecturing to a bunch of kids that you really have to appreciate your parents. You know, you're a little child in diapers, and you used to soil your diapers, and your mother cleaned you so many times a day, and she begged you to eat food, and she put you to sleep, and she gave you the food that you liked, and she begged you to eat, and she begged you to go to sleep, and you never wanted to listen to her, and she begged you, and you know, and then you wanted to crawl on the floor, and you could have fallen down the steps, and you could have put things in your mouth, and she watched over you, and you know, and it keeps describing everything a mother does. So the kids, you know, they get bored, start falling asleep. They're not interested. They don't really think of things that way. And, you know, you have to thank your mother for this, you have to thank your mother for that, and in every detail. They're not interested. And the Chavis Halvavos is insistent that the mindset of an Oved Hashem is someone that says constantly, thank you, Hashem. Tov l'hodos l'Hashem, that a person's focus in the world, and he says all the mitzvahs and everything are an expression of gratitude, is a way of saying thank you. And people will Why do people do mitzvahs? It's a chiddush. Chaim Salovitz was an early, I spoke about it yesterday in the drasha. I mean, Chaim Salovitz was a very early Rishon, probably the bridge between the Gaonim and the Rishonim, which, if you know a little of Jewish history, is like very early. It goes back a century, two, three, before Rashi, the Rambam, and the Ramban. Like before all of them. And you say, well, why do I do mitzvahs for? And so most people, I would say, think of mitzvahs as an investment. They want schar, they get olam haba, or they don't want to get punished, they want to stay out of Gehenna. Or even if they think like more, Hashem is the king and I'm going to do what Hashem wants. But that's how they think of it. That's how they think of it. But according to the Chayyus Halvavus, it's that we owe Hashem everything we have, and we can't pay him back, really. And our only way to pay, all he wants from us is to express gratitude and to do his will, and that's our way of expressing gratitude. This is explained in Shara Avodas Elokim, especially in the Hakdama to Shara Avodas Elokim. So he wants us to develop, and this is the most important thing. This is the real Eved Hashem. The real Eved Hashem is someone that expresses gratitude and feels gratitude towards Hashem. Now, you could say thank you. You know, your mother says, Aunt Polly gave you a birthday present. Say thank you. Okay, thank you. Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, Melcholam Shekol Niyabidvaro. That's like saying, say thank you. You say, okay, thank you. You want to drink a cup of water, you have to say Baruch Atah Hashem first. You know, it's like a password. You got to say the password to get over the bridge. You got to say a password to be able to drink the water. You have to feel the gratitude. And the reason this chazes over the most mundane, everyday things over and over and over again is because that's the way advertising works. You go on the street, they want you to vote for someone, you see 10 signs. You don't see one sign. Because they bang it into you, and they want you to buy this kind of tape recorder, this kind of MP3, this kind of anything. They have to bang it into you. They have to spend a lot of money on advertising. We put up ads now to come learn at night. You got to bang it out everywhere because you have to penetrate people's consciousness, because there's so much garbage out there and there's so much stuff out there. So you have to penetrate the ads. So you just have to keep saying it. And, you know, like Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal always points out, how many people really thank Hashem for the sunrise? And that's the longest bracha. The longest bracha that Chazal saw fit to institute is the first bracha, Yotzer Or Avorei Choshech, and it goes all the way to Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Hamoros. That's one bracha. That's not like the bracha before Hallel, where you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedishonu B'Mitzvosov V'Tzivonu L'Kroas Hallel, and then you say Hallel, and then there's a bracha after Hallel. Yalulu Hashem Elokeinu Akol Maasecha V'Chasidecha Tzadikim Asher Yotzenecha. Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulol B'Tishpachos. That's two different brachas, one before Hallel and one after Hallel. But when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzeror V'Rechosech Asher Sholom V'Vori Yisakol Amei Elores V'Adom Leim V'Rachamim V'Tvom B'Chadesh V'Cholyom Pin Masev Yishus. If you daven Shacharis, you know what I'm talking about. And you go through the whole thing until Kili Olam Chasdo Or Chadosh Al Tzion To'ir V'Nizke Cholonu Meher Li'Aro Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Hamri Aros. That was like Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Yotzeres Adom V'Chachma Baruch Atah Hashem Afli Chol Basorim Afli La'Asos. That's one bracha. It has a beginning and it has an end. That is by far the longest bracha in our whole liturgy. That's the longest bracha. So what is Chazal? It's huge. Look at it. And it starts talking about the malachim, and the malachim are praising Hashem, and they're excited about it, and mechabim the o malchus shemayim zemizem and osim reshuzel ozel like this miotram benachas ruach psafav v'rov v'nimol k'tzurok klam kechad onim v'yamim v'yirah kadosh 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 Hashem tzvakos, and everybody's tumbling, and then you say, and it's all about Yotzer Hamaoros. That's the whole thing. Now you take the malachim praise Hashem for giving sustenance to the world, for creating the world, for giving light. Light is energy. Light is more than light as opposed to darkness. Light is the way we now know light is. Because we're already, Baruch Hashem, in the stage of history where we know that light is everything. Vayhi Or is the whole creation lies in light, energy. It's all the same, energy, light, and everything is, the sun is like, you can, I can understand much better, according to the little science that I know, that people used to worship the sun. That is that gives life to the earth. Motion, everything is powered, like it's powered by the sun. Everything's solar powered. Every movement on earth is powered by the sun. The sun gives energy and everything moves because the sun is 99.5.6% of the energy on the earth is provided by the sun. And no wonder people used to worship it, because that was the Makar HaChayim, that gave life, that they didn't think like somebody made the sun. That's really, Avraham Avinu had to come along and say, wait a second, you know, who made the sun? So the point is that how many people, I don't want to get into that discussion. I'm making a point. What? They're grateful to Hashem.
I'm surprised by that, because I always thought that really anything.
That's right. That's the biggest. We have to have gratitude for that also. That Hashem is setting up this system in order to reward us for when we do it, because He doesn't need any of this. The system is show gratitude. You show gratitude by doing His will, and the Iker Avdus Eved Hashem is to recognize and acknowledge that everything is from Him, and to be grateful for every moment of life, for every moment of breathing, for every moment of digesting, for every moment of gravity, for every moment of anything. So you be thankful, thankful, thankful. The irony, so to speak, is that He doesn't need any of this. He's doing it for our sake. You know, that's, now we shift over to Ramchal and we say He created the world because He's a mativ and He wants to do tov because He doesn't need anything. So that's like what that does, according to the Chayim Halevis, is it puts you on a no-win treadmill. It just, what do I mean by no-win treadmill? It supports his point that we could never, and he says this many times in the Sefer, we could never be grateful enough to Hashem. Why does it do that? Because even if I'd be grateful for every little thing in my life, every moment, everything, but then I have to be grateful for the fact that He set up a system that I'm grateful and I get rewarded for it, and I bond with Him, and I become part of Nitzchias, and I become spiritual, and I bond with Hashem. Okay, so I have to be grateful for that too. And once I'm grateful for that, then I have to be grateful. It's like, you know, it's like a treadmill. You can't win. You can never be grateful enough. It just almost proves the Chavis Halovis's point. Because as soon as you're grateful, you have to be grateful for that. Because it's for our sake, not for His. So I have to say, thank you, Hashem, for creating me and setting up a system where I can express my gratitude to you, thus being Zoche to bond with you and to be part of you, etc. Because you don't need it. Okay, so I'm sorry. That's why I'm doing His will. It's the person that saves your child's life, that saves your life. When you run out in front of a car and he grabs you and he saves your life, and then he says, "Can I please have a drink of water?" You go, "A drink of water? I want to give you $1 million. You just saved my life. The least I can do is give you a drink of water." That's what we should think of mitzvahs according to the Chavis Halevis. Hashem, the payback that Hashem wants from us, the way we express our acknowledgement, Hashem wants us to express our gratitude, our acknowledgement, our hoda'ah. We said hoda'ah has two roots, and they really mean, they come together beautifully. Hoda'ah means to admit, and hoda'ah means to give thanks, because it's very hard to give thanks. We have to admit that it's not us. We have to admit that we're not entitled to it, and we have to admit, that's why admit and thanks is the same shoresh, because The real thanks is an admission that I don't deserve it, that it's not coming to me, that I'm not entitled to it, and that you're giving it to me, and thank you. That's an admission, and that's one of the reasons Chavis HaLova says he wrote Shar HaBechina, to make us wake up. Because it's hard. It's hard. I don't want to think that he says later that we have to thank Hashem for giving us sanity. Now, people don't think of it that way. Like, you know, you think Hashem created me, so part of the deal is that I am a thinking, rational being. But, you know, so go to visit some hospitals, some mental hospitals, and talk to some psychologists, psychiatrists, and you'll see that there's plenty of mental illnesses out there. And, wow, you say, thank you, Hashem. This is what we said, you know, sometimes if you have trouble conceptualizing the kidney, you just go to a hospital. That's the best Shar HaBechinas, to visit a hospital, walk through it, and then say, you know, thank you, Hashem. Go to an eye hospital and then say, thank you, Hashem. Okay, Achibrim, I could see. Now, the truth is they also have to thank Hashem, because they're alive. And they should look at a paraplegic, right? And they say, wow, I can move my hands and feet. Or, I just can't see. Big deal. Wow, thank you, Hashem. Everybody has his own level of chiyuv. Nobody's life is perfect, and everybody has to thank Hashem for what they have. The Chavis HaLovis system is that doing Hashem's will is our way of expressing our gratitude and our acknowledgement that He gives us what we have, and we have to thank Him for it. That's what He says in Shar Avodas Elokim and the Hakdama. That's what doing mitzvahs is all about. It's saying thank you. And when you do any mitzvah, see, you say, okay, I'm listening to Hashem. No, that's not enough. Halavai, we would do that. But He wants us to go and Chovas Halavamos. He wants us to say, anything. I'm keeping Shabbos because Shabbos means this and this and that. But why do I have to do it? What's compelling me to keep Shabbos? I don't want to keep Shabbos. So some Svarim say, what do you mean? How can you disobey the great king? Melech Malchei Hamlochim. How can you dare disobey him? And other Svarim will talk about Ganem. Another Svarim will talk about Gan Eden. And these are all like outside compelling reasons to listen to Hashem. And they're all true, but the Chavis HaLovis, I believe, has a much more compelling reason than all. That because according to the Chavis HaLovis, it comes within you. That's why he spends the whole Hakdama of Shar Avodas Elokim, which is the next Shar after Shar HaBechina, because it naturally comes next. After you study everything, then you say, thank you, Hashem. He says, that's where Avodas Hashem should come from. And we explained when we learned Shar Avodas Elokim that it's a very deep, very, very deep point, because it makes you serve Hashem because you want to. What's compelling you is the natural instinct. This is how the Chavis HaLovis explains it in the Hakdama to Shar Avodas Elokim. What's compelling you is the natural instinct to say thank you. A kafui tov is not a mensch. Someone who won't acknowledge that someone did something for him is subhuman. And he goes through the whole hakadama. If someone's not makir tov to his parents, if someone finds some bum in the street sleeping, drunk, stinking, disgusting under a park bench, and he takes him and he cleans him and he dresses him and he gives him a job and he gives him food and he buys him a house and he sends him off to college and he puts him through college and he marries him off and he just keeps giving, right? That pales into insignificance when you think what Hashem did for us. But imagine, you know, versus like how, and we all have said dozens of times in our lives, how can I thank you? How can I ever thank you? Well, you know, for what? Someone gave me a ride because I was carrying 10 packages. They say, how can I ever thank you? Right? How can I... my foot, I think, turned a big corner over the last few days. To the good. Baruch Hashem, it turned the corner. It's still not It's still a wound, but I think I've turned the corner over the last few days, Baruch Hashem. And amen, amen. Thank you. No, well, yeah, that's one of, yeah, and the pains are lessening now. And the Baruch Hashem. So you say, if someone would have come to me 3 months ago and given me a pill, you know, take this, and how can I thank you now that I know what I went through these last 6-7 months? I'm not over it yet, but we're getting there. How can I thank you? I say, how can I thank you? And I'm sure all of us have been in the position that we're and this is really also, that's why I said, like the never ending treadmill. I'm sure we've all been in a position, say, you stay by someone for 6 months, you're bored by someone and they don't charge you and they let you stay there. And how can I thank you? No, I don't want any thanks. It's okay. No, please. And then they tell you, okay, you know what? If you, I really need a new, you know, you stay there. A new kitchen set. You know, a nice kitchen set. So, you know, and you're so thankful. And they're doing you a big favor. I'm sure we've all been there. They're doing you such a big favor by telling you how you can say thank you. You're like missing something. You're going nuts. How do I thank them? I buy them a car. Like, that's so petty. That's so silly to just say thank you. What, a card? Yeah, but that's nothing. I want to do so much more. Tell me what I can do for you. I'm sure everyone has been in this position where you actually end up being thankful that they told you how to express your thanks.
What about adoption? When someone adopts a child,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no way they can.
No way they can do thanks. So imagine Hashem did much more than adopt, right? He created us. There's no way. And all He wants us to do is listen to Him. And nothing is hard in the Torah. Nothing is really bad. It's all good. It's the perfect society. It makes you. It transforms us from animals, intelligent animals, into spiritual beings, and it gives us cholent. I mean, it's like great. And then we have to thank Him for allowing us to say thank you. That's the Chavis HaLavis system. My point is that the Chavis HaLavis bangs away with this because, as I say again, go over. Let's experiment. Go over someone and say, when's the last? Even someone that davens. So that means they said that bracha, that huge bracha. Huge, huge bracha. And say, did you thank Hashem for the sunlight? No, I don't know. You know, it's there. It's somebody. When do you feel grateful to Hashem for giving us sunlight? So that's why he has to keep banging away. And it's not enough to say thank you. I'm saying, it's like saying, tell Aunt Polly thank you, thank you. You have to feel it. So that's why after Shar HaYichud he writes Shar HaBechina, and I know it is boring. It gets boring. I mean, it's also fascinating, but it gets boring too because it keeps repeating. And I'm trying to be ma'arich about each of the things he brings up a little. I can't be ma'arich how much they deserve because each thing you could study, each word in the Chavis HaLavis, each phrase you could study for 3 years and just fill your head with knowledge of how the eye works, how the ear works, how the mouth works, how the teeth work, how everything works. And that's such a small sliver in the spectrum of life that Hashem gives us, right? He says there's 7 disciplines and he just picked one of them, how the body works. And that's a small, and then there's astronomy, all the whole world.
That's what we do know.
And that's what we do know, that's right. And the Chavis HaLavis is only talking about what he knew, which was 1,000 years ago. We know so much more than him. Nothing wrong with saying that. Well, that's what he lived then, when everything was rudimentary. Everything was, but look what he does. Look how much he gets into biology. Look how now we're up to the part of the Chavis HaLavis where he describes the digestive system. And it's, you know, we'll expand on that a little, but he has down the basics. So we're up to the words Vacha kachis bonein ochi, and then I want you to consider Bakochos arba, the 4 forces in your body through which your body gets nourished. And like, it's amazing. This is what Hashem did. Study it, think about it, contemplate it, thank Hashem. Because they all work together. If one of the systems wouldn't work, then none of them would work. There's a system, 1, 2, 3, 4. The first is HaKoach HaMoshech. The first part of the digestive system, he splits it up into 4 parts. The Koach HaMoshech, what draws the food from your mouth into your body. Hu HaMakabel HaMaichel, this force takes the food through the esophagus. Bahamagio elho itztumcha, that's stomach. You see the word stomach there. And it transports it to the stomach. Now, the body does that. It does it automatically. It's not gravity. You can be standing on your head and eat something. It'll go down. It'll go up. It'll go down. It'll go down the hatchet and into your stomach. The esophagus is very narrow. Saliva makes the food slippery. And the lining of the esophagus is coated with mucus. Hashem has designed peristalsis, a marvelous and mysterious mechanism by which the muscles of the esophagus move the food. The action of peristalsis looks like an ocean wave moving through the esophagus. The muscles contract to produce a narrowing and then propel the narrowed portion slowly down the length of the tube. And this is every time you eat anything. These waves of narrowing push the food and fluid in front of them through the esophagus to the stomach. Once the food has reached the stomach, it comes under the control of a miraculous organ called the sphincter. This remarkable ring-like valve relaxes long enough to let the food into the stomach, and as soon as the food enters the stomach, and you know, we just say these things, but this is what Hashem constructed. As soon as the food enters the stomach, the sphincter automatically closes so that the food can't back up into the esophagus. So that's the Koach HaMoshech that the Chovetz Chaim Soloveitchik says. How much of this he knew, and with, you know, peristalsis and the sphincter, we don't know. Whatever they knew, that then he knew. But there's the Koach HaMoshech. Like, the step one is you gotta get the food. And remember, it starts with the saliva. You start salivating when you even smell the good food. And all that helps break down the food and the teeth. It's like a whole system that works together beautifully. Number two is HaKoach HaMachzik. It holds the food. Hu HaMa'akev HaMachol Bo. It holds the food. And because the stomach has to perform its function of digesting the food, so the food has to stay there. Hashem designed the stomach so that it keeps the food in place until the digestive job is completed. Whereas the food spends only a few seconds passing through the esophagus, it remains in the stomach up to 3.5 hours. If the food continued on its way, digestion would not be accomplished. So it is a wonder of Hashem that the retentive force holds the food in place until digestion is completed. That is number two here. Bakoach hamachazik, hu ha'ma'akev ha'machol bo, ad she'yase bo hateva ma'aseihu, until its natural function happens. Number three is hakoach ha'mavashel. That's the mavashel, cooking. It means that which digests the food. Not only is there a force that retains the food so that it can be digested, there's another very powerful force that steps in to start processing the food and distributing the nutrients throughout the body. That's what it means, Koach HaMavashel. Food entering the body is cooked by a series of digestive juices and hormones which are produced by the glands of the digestive system. The stomach has 3 mechanical tasks to perform. It stores the swallowed food and liquid. This means that the muscle of the upper part of the stomach must relax and accept large volumes of swallowed material. The second job is to mix up the food, liquid, and digestive juices produced by the stomach. The lower part of the stomach mixes these materials by its muscle action. The third task of the stomach is to empty its contents slowly into the small intestine. The digestive force is extremely complex because it is not limited to the stomach. Many organs of the body are involved in releasing digestive juices and in controlling when and where they should be released. The first glands to act on the food are in the mouth. The salivary glands, saliva is produced by these glands, contain an enzyme that begins to digest the starch from the food into smaller molecules. The next set of glands are in the lining of the stomach. They produce hydrochloric acid and an enzyme that digests protein. After the stomach empties the food and its juice into the small intestine, the juices of two other digestive organs mix with the food to continue the process of digestion. One of these organs is the pancreas. It produces a juice that contains a wide array of enzymes to break down the carbohydrates, fat, and protein in the food. The liver produces another digestive juice, bile, which is stored between meals in the gallbladder. At mealtime, it is squeezed out of the gallbladder into bile ducts to reach the intestine and mix with the fat of the food. The bile acids dissolve the fat into the watery content of the intestine, much like the detergents that dissolve grease from a frying pan. After the fat is dissolved, it's digested by enzymes from the pancreas and the lining of the intestine. The lining of the intestine absorbs the nutrients that have been dissolved out of the food. The nutrients are then passed to the bloodstream, from where they are transmitted to the limbs and to all cells of the body. As the food is digested in the intestine and dissolves into the juices from the pancreas and liver, the contents of the intestines are mixed and pushed forward to allow further digestion. Amazingly, all these functions are performed automatically by our bodies without requiring any attention from our conscious brain. When we see, I'm reading from Avigdor Miller now, when we see a girl with long hair reaching down below her waist, do we ever wonder where all that hair material, which is so different from the scalp out of which it grows, came from? It came from the food that she ate. You have to think about how mysterious and how miraculous the ability of the body is to take the food and to transform it into every different kind of material, because it becomes your body. The entire process is so complex because it needs to handle a wide variety of foods, and it needs to do it all automatically. And remember, the blood sends to each part of the body exactly what it needs, because not every part of the body gets the same thing. It's all like like a post office sending to different parts of the body what it needs. Hu hamavashel also motzi hazach shebo. The digestive force digests the food and extracts the finer elements, meaning not the waste products, just the finer elements that have value to the body from it. Throughout the body, there are cells that need specific substances from the digested food. Remarkably, and you have to realize what it means when he says, every time he says the word remarkably. Remarkably, only the nutrients needed by each cell of the body are fed to that cell. I mean, that sentence alone is totally amazing. Just that sentence. Only the nutrients needed by each cell of the body are fed to that cell. In order for the digestive system to perform its complex tasks, it's controlled by an elaborate set of chemical and electrical regulators. The major hormones that control the functions of the digestive system are produced by cells in the lining of the stomach and small intestine. These hormones are released into the blood of the digestive tract, travel back to the heart through the arteries, and return to the digestive system, where they stimulate digestive juices and cause organ movement. Two types of nerves help control the action of the digestive system. Outside nerves come to the digestive organs from the unconscious part of the brain or from the spinal cord. These act by alternately releasing two chemicals with contrasting effects. One of these chemicals causes the muscle of the digestive organs to squeeze with more force and increase the push of food and juice through the digestive tract. The other relaxes the muscles of the stomach and intestine and decreases the flow of blood to these organs. Even more important are the inside nerves, which make up a very dense network embedded in the walls of the esophagus, stomach, small intestines, and colon. These intrinsic nerves are triggered to act when the walls of those hollow organs are stretched by food. They release many different substances, which we're not even talking about, right? That speed up or delay the movement of food and the production of juices by the digestive organs. And now, my freedom and apsolus, habulti knows, it takes the useful part of the food and separates it from the waste, umashalayach also el kol haguf, and it sends it over the whole guf. The utmost intelligence is required to extract nutrition from what we consume, leaving behind what we don't need. We could never do it ourselves, and yet the process is performed within us every day of our lives. The nutrient delivery system is a miracle of miracles. The blood is a complex mixture in which are carried hundreds of different materials. All of these items are delivered correctly to the specific address in the body to which they were sent. There are no mistakes in delivery, and the goods don't contaminate or spoil each other while en route, despite being mixed together. In addition to valuable nutrients, blood also carries waste materials that have been discarded by the tissues of the body. Even though the waste materials and the nutrients are mixed together, the nutrients are not harmed. It's like a two-way highway without a divider. Also, while en route, some of the nutrients are undergoing processing. They are effectively being manufactured while flowing in the blood. So it's like you get a delivery with a truck, and meanwhile the truck's making the blood, so that they are ready for use when they arrive at their destination. I mean, this, I brought these books. I'm not going to read from them. Maybe I will next week. Just a little arichus on what's mentioned here, how it works. And number four is lakoach adoche. This gets rid of the waste. Hashem created a person that, and there's a reason for it. I'm not sure what it is. We should realize that there's waste and we have to get rid of it. Everything has a bad aspect to it or a useless aspect, and our body expels it. And it does it after only after the digestive force has extracted from the food all the necessary elements, and then there's psolus left, waste products, so the body expels it. After the stomach has completed its digestive process, it expels the food into the intestine where digestion continues. At the same time, the food is being relentlessly pushed through the intestines until the unusable remainder is ultimately expelled from the body. The movement through the intestines is achieved by precisely controlled peristaltic action similar to that performed by the esophagus. We need to appreciate that this is all a miraculous process, since our conscious mind takes no part in it until the waste reaches the lower part of the colon to be eliminated from the body. The elimination process is a symptom of Hashem's kindness and consideration for us. Elimination of waste materials does not begin until the food has yielded its contents. Only then does the digestive system begin the final stage, that of expelling the waste from the body. Now, to which I'll add that then a nace happens, because everything we don't control, but then all of a sudden we control. Because if it would just leak out of us, it would be right. We couldn't live. You couldn't live with people. How would life work if your body waste would be expelled also automatically without consciousness? It would just come out, you know, when it fills up or when it needs to. But there, all of a sudden, Hashem made it that our conscious minds realizes that we have to expel waste, and we can wait. We can wait till we get to a bathroom. We can wait till we get out of the meeting. It doesn't happen in the meeting. You know, we're laughing, but every part of digestion is automatic, and we don't control any of it till it gets to the end where, oh my goodness, like, when is my body going to expel its waste? And all of a sudden, Hashem made that we control that. Re'eh, says the Chayvus Halavus. Eh, huf could do. And again, he didn't know a tenth of what we know about every little thing he says. Realize how these four forces, the Moshech, the Machzik, the Mevashel, and the Doche, right, the Moshech, the food, holding the food, digesting the food, and expelling the waste, see how they have been assigned to the body. To serve the body, in a way that's most effective for the body. And remember that they operate in concert. They all have to act together. It's like each part, it's as if each part is aware of what the other part's doing, or else they wouldn't be able to coordinate. And they do coordinate. It's like everything is set up and everything works. And it's like a relay team, and each part prepares for the other part. Doesn't do too much, doesn't do too little. Everything is perfectly set up. This thing does its thing, and then the other thing takes over, and then the next thing takes over. V'huka chatzar ha-melech. Your body is like a royal court that has all kinds of servants doing different things. Some people bring in the food, some people prepare the food, some people clean up the garbage, sweep up, clean up. And everything's coordinated, and every servant knows what his job is, and you bring in, let's say, the raw materials into the kitchen, and the cook cooks, and the waiters serve, and right, and nobody bumps into everybody else, and everybody knows exactly what their job is, and then the guys come in to clean afterwards, from all the garbage. He says that's what your body is. Your body is a banquet served in a palace, and all of these things mentioned are the hundreds, thousands of servants that are serving you, serving Hashem, in serving this banquet to your body that needs nourishment. It is like a royal court, sheyesh bo avodim. He uses many different names because everybody has a different task. Avodim, unetzivim, servants and officers, pekidim al beso, who are assigned to run the royal household. Echad mehem, omed letzorchei ha'avodim. You get the supplies that the servants need, ulagim al gizbar hamelech, to bring them to the kitchen. Upoket sheni, a second officer, his job is lekabo mashayavi harishon, to take what the first one brings, the letzer osa b'bayis, to store it, what has to be stored, until it's prepared and ready to be used. Upoket shlishi, the third officer, is responsible lahochin mashenetzar, for processing that which has been stored, ulasakno, to fix it up, to arrange it in portions, ulazamno, put it on the plate, make it, ulachalko al avodim, and to serve it, to distribute it to the servants in the palace. Upokad Ravi, a fourth officer, he has to clean up the whole mess. Cleaning out lechabed mashayesh babayas min azevel v'alichloch. He has to clean out all the garbage, the dirt that remains in the house. Because everything's set up. Your body's a servant of Hashem. And this is a whole system. You have to feed the servants. The servants need nourishment. So the king delivers a truck. And everybody knows their job. This one takes it off the truck, brings it into the house. This one puts it away, sets it up, brings it to the kitchen. They prepare the food. This is mamash what your body is doing every time you eat a morsel of food. So now you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Bring your name as on those. And then you make a bracha achrona, which so many people forget to make. A bracha achrona is really, you think of it, I'm hungry, and Hashem gives me food to satiate my hunger, or to give me what I need. And then the bracha achrona probably has to do with, what the food does. It nourishes my body. Azonis olam kolob b'tavol b'chein b'chesed v'rachamim. Who knows, saying lechem l'chol basar, or alamichya, or just boring nefashos. It's just utterly amazing. Okay, the next part, we'll stop now. I'll decide about next week. Maybe we'll do a little more digestion from these books, or maybe we'll go on to his next subject, which is the mind. He didn't talk about the mind yet. He talked about the whole body. Now he's going to talk about the mind. He's going to talk about sanity, thought, the creative process, the ability to remember, the ability to forget, which he explains as a tremendous bracha from Hashem. If we wouldn't forget things that happened to us, we would go through life miserable. Of course, many people go through life miserable anyway. But many people go through life miserable because they can't forget what happened to them. And they keep remembering when they were embarrassed, and this person embarrassed them publicly, and they can't forget that. And so I'm saying, everything in the mind. He didn't touch the mind yet, and the mind is like the crown of a person. And this little, how big is the brain already? Okay, we'll stop here.